Actions speak louder than words, but this is radio, and words are pretty powerful here. I may disagree with what you have to say, but I shall defend to the death your right to say it. You can always turn down the volume, after all. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You must follow your heart. A man is known by the company he keeps, and Julian Beghini is keeping company with us. You can decide what that means for his reputation. Julian Beghini is the author of Should You Judge This Book by Its Cover? 100 Fresh Takes on Familiar Sayings and Quotations. And he joins us now from the BBC studios in Bristol. Julian Beghini, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So should you judge a book by its cover?
Ah, well, I mean, sometimes perhaps you have no choice but to do so. It was a good one to choose for the title of the book. And asking the questions, of course, the advice is never judge this a book by its cover. But the whole point of the book was that, like so many phrases and proverbs, we trot out these things, we say them as though they were just established truths, we all know what they mean, and so forth. But what I wanted to do is to get people to look at them again. Because if you think about these proverbs and sayings, one of the odd things about them is there's a kind of law, which is every proverb has an equal and opposite proverb. You can play this game yourself at home sometimes. So, you know, they say
if you're really bored.
You don't have to be bored for it. They say he who hesitates is lost is one. But the people say everything comes to he who waits. So, you know, what should you do? Wait or should you not hesitate? We have a good one in Britain, which is, you know, if you're penny wise, you're pound foolish. But then they also say you take care of the pennies and the pounds take care of themselves. So all this advice seems to be completely contradictory. So how can it be that these are supposedly wise old sayings? And they completely contradict each other.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, but out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly, another one, yeah.
Well, your book is about the origins, use, and often total misuse of these common aphorisms. We found a lot of them that are used on our air. Let's start with a clip. This is a report about publishing gossip about the British royal family.
Royal watchers, among them monarchists, believe the prince should allow the newspapers to publish the rumors and then sue for libel. But that's unlikely, suggested the Sunday Times. A recent editorial read, "Some people will always believe there is no smoke without fire, but then there has always been something odd about the Windsors."
What's interesting there is, of course, it is true in a sense that there is no smoke without fire. The problem, I think, is that people think they can see the connection between the smoke and the fire. So, for example, let's say, you know, there's a lot of fuss going on, a lot of rumours going around about something. Well, something's causing that, right? There's some fire causing that smoke. But is what's causing it actually what's people are alleging is going on, or is it something else? Is it somebody trying to smear someone's reputation? Is it someone trying to create some publicity for themselves? So the important thing there is that, yeah, when you sort of hear rumours, when gossip is going around, it's always indicative that something's going on, but it's not necessarily the thing going on which everyone wants you to think it is. That's what you have to catch yourself and ask.
I thought what you were going to say is the thing about that clip is there is something odd about the Windsors.
Ah, well, there is something odd about the Windsors, that's true, but it may not be the odd thing that they're talking about in that programme. But, you know, we have to be very careful not just to allow our own prejudices to make us prejudge it.
This is screenwriter John Ridley. He found a use for one of these aphorisms.
The truth is, while everywhere else in the world familiarity breeds contempt, in Hollywood it tends to breed comfort.
Familiarity breeds contempt.
I think the point is a good example because a lot of these proverbs, we treat them as though they're general laws. They're things which always apply. And they're rarely like that. What they actually are very nice, pithy forms of words for describing a particular situation we come up with. So, for example, if in a particular relationship your familiarity breeds contempt, you know, it's nice to have that phrase to hand. It's a nice way of summing up what's happened and makes your situation clear to other people. But it doesn't make it a general rule.
Our final saying comes from commentator Frank DeFord. The context here is a kind of hard-to-explain discussion of black college football coaches, but I think the sentiment stands for itself.
It is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
Yes. What I find interesting about that phrase is the way in which people use it. I think there's something very true about that, actually. To have truly loved is a very worthwhile experience, even if, perhaps, you know, things ultimately went wrong. But actually, again, how do people really use it? I think sometimes people use it as a way of saying, well, you know, you may as well just have a go no matter what. It's better perhaps to be in a bad relationship even than being single. And I think that's not true either. I mean, it's better to have loved is to have truly loved. It doesn't mean it's better to have had a relationship or, you know, to have gone to bed with someone or something. So I think one has to be very careful about these things. People can take that kind of advice and they can interpret it in the wrong way to say, you know, what the hell, just you may as well give something a go, even if it, the omens are looking bad, the person's unsuitable, and it's all probably going to end in disaster. I think that people sometimes, I think it's better to be happily single than to be unhappily wed.
Well, to everything there is a season, and now I'm afraid it's time to say goodbye to Julian Beghini. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Julian Beghini is the author of Should You Judge This Book by Its Cover? 100 Fresh Takes on Familiar Sayings and Quotations. Go to our website to read his takedown of other popular sayings. That's npr.org.